These are our planet's winter wonderlands. And the remarkable animals that call them home.
In a helicopter.
I'm Gordon Buchanan, and as a wildlife cameraman, I've visited many of these unique and special places.
But the animals that live in places like this need to be resilient, and many of them are specially adapted to make the very most of these seasonal conditions.
I'm going to reveal the extraordinary animals that don't just survive, but positively thrive in the snow.
Oh, very, very cute.
Each has different and surprising tactics to face winter head on. From the polar bear mother who spends 7 months without food and water to give her babies the best start in life. To the fox who can catch food it can't even see. And a seasonal specialist, the reindeer. And the surprising secret behind that red nose.
Just how these animals make these places their own are amongst the most incredible stories in the natural world. I hope you're snuggled up nice and warm, because it's time to meet the amazing animals that spend their life in the snow.
A bounding wolf, a baby penguin extending its wings, then a polar bear in a blizzard. BBC. Life in the Snow. Presented by Gordon Buchanan.
Each year, up to one-third of our planet is transformed by snow into a sparkling world of wonder and white.
An alpine fox.
The animals who live here must adapt to this dazzling change.
A bison snorting out a cloud of vapour.
How they rise to the challenge of living in the snow is what sets each of them apart.
A penguin sliding on its belly, then a vast mountain range covered in icing sugar snow.
Our first animal is the world's largest land carnivore. They face the coldest temperatures the Arctic has to offer. But they seem to take it all in their stride. The polar bear. Most animals couldn't live this close to the North Pole, but he appears to be reveling in it.
He slides down a hill on his front.
In fact, the bears roll in the snow when they want to cool down. But how is it possible to get too hot in the Arctic?
A bear on the move.
The polar bear has the thickest fur of any bear. But it's the 11 centimetre fat layer beneath the skin that makes all the difference. It keeps in the heat like nothing else. It works so well, polar bears can swim for mile after mile in the freezing Arctic Sea.
A polar bear underwater, using its powerful paws to swim at speed. Then another on land, scooping snow onto his snout.
To maintain this vital layer, they need to eat as much fatty food as they can find.
He thumps the snowy ground with his nose.
The polar bear's staple diet is seal. But they spend most of their time under the ice. The bear can't afford a drawn-out game of hide-and-seek. His sense of smell is 100 times better than ours. Able to track a scent from 20 miles away.
A chubby seal lounging on the ice, then diving underwater.
A bear can smell a seal through a metre of snow.
The seal peeks up through a hole in the ice.
A seal can be nearly 50% blubber.
The polar bear lunges again and eventually breaks through the ice.
he'll catch nearly one a week, enough to keep his insulation in top condition.
A bear lying down.
At this time of year, female polar bears have a very different problem. They have their cubs in the depth of the Arctic winter.
On the ice.
A polar bear simply can't give birth out on the Arctic ice with such small, vulnerable babies. It is way too cold, down to minus 50 degrees Celsius. So for a pregnant mother living in such a cold and exposed place, there's really only one place to be. And that is underneath the snow.
Gordon digs out a shelter.
It might sound counterintuitive, but we can actually use snow to keep us warm. Within this lump of snow is trapped air, and trapped air makes a fantastic insulator. So when you're in a snow hole or a snow den, you could even get cosy.
He climbs in.
And when a polar bear is underneath the snow like this, the temperature inside can be an incredible 30 degrees warmer than the temperature outside. And when she's hidden in a den like this, that's when something truly remarkable happens.
Around the turn of the new year, across the Arctic, under 3 feet of snow and ice, female polar bears give birth.
The northern lights dancing across the night sky, then Gordon standing by his camera in the daytime.
Then in early spring, they emerge for the first time. April in Svalbard. Just the right moment to see this happen.
Oh, very, very cute.
Two cubs emerge.
Both cubs combined aren't even as big as the mother's head.
One tries to jump onto its mother's back.
At 3 months old, this is their very first experience of the outside world.
The cub stumbles.
During her time in the den, she loses half her body weight. Her milk is 30% fat, so her cubs grow fast.
They're play fighting.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
They're already 20 times heavier than when they were born. Just about big enough to take on their frozen world. And it's all down to their mother's winter, hidden beneath the snow.
The cubs claw up a powdery slope.
Polar bears aren't the only animals to use this strategy. Our very own common dormouse spends more than half of its life asleep, avoiding the winter altogether. And the Arctic ground squirrel can let its body temperature drop to 2.9 degrees below freezing. It's the coldest any mammal can get. Remarkably, it appears to change the chemistry of its body to stop ice crystals forming. Every few weeks, it has to feed. So it shivers and shakes in its sleep to raise its temperature just enough to wake up.
It twitches.
But bears are the most impressive hibernators of all. Able to survive up to 7 months without food or water.
In a snow hole.
There is no doubt about it. Taking shelter beneath the snow is a really good strategy. For a baby bear, for the first few months of its life, the den is its world. But sooner or later, mother bears and the cubs do need to emerge, and getting the timing right is absolutely critical.
It's spring in North America, and this young female black bear has just come out of her den. In a normal year, she'd emerge to greet a brand new spring. But an unexpected cold front has blown in from the Arctic.
A red-breasted bird perching on a branch.
What's worse, she has 3-month-old twin cubs with her. This is her first ever litter. She should be keeping them warm. Instead, she gets up and leaves. After half a year in hibernation, she's desperate for food. Her cubs don't have the 3 layers of waterproof fur all adult bears grow. They're defenseless in this weather.
The mother turns away.
Their instinctive survival strategy is to climb a tree.
The twin cubs struggle up the tree trunk in single file.
But this only works for avoiding predators. Up here, they're even more exposed to the cold.
They shudder, their dark coats dusted with snowflakes.
At last, their mum returns.
The mother bear peers up at her cubs, who climb carefully down the tree to join her.
But straight away, she sets off again.
The cubs look around, then crawl away.
Walking in thick snow is almost impossible on little legs.
They wobble their way across the snow, then rest by a tree.
They struggle to keep up. Hopefully, Mum has a plan to keep them warm and safe.
The cubs look around, then walk on a little further. They stop again, one shaking its coat, while the other scoops the snow with a shaking paw. After dark, an icy wind whips through a cluster of evergreens.
Overnight, temperatures drop to minus 12 degrees.
Dark clouds drifting past a full moon, then a pink sunrise on the edge of the forest.
Dawn. The storm has passed. But what about the cubs?
The mother sheltering in a hollow, with the cubs nestling beside her. One pokes its nose out, looks around, then huddles back into her coat.
Their mother led them to a sheltered spot and kept them warm through the chill of the night with her own body heat.
One of the cubs climbs up its mother's chest to feed. Then the mother bows her nose as she sits patiently with one cub wriggling on either side of her. A cub's brown face and eyes bathed in sunshine.
Experience can make all the difference to living in the snow. It's been a steep learning curve for this family, but they've made it.
One twin pawing its sibling, then Gordon setting up a camera.
Being ready and equipped for the cold is critical, as I can show you. This is a thermal camera. It sees temperature as different colours. Right now, I'm just wearing a thin top and it should show me losing body heat in red and white.
Now, as I stand here, I can actually feel the cold nipping at my exposed skin. On the thermal camera, that'll show up as white hot. So it's all about layering up. It's about keeping that heat in, and we do that with insulation. For any animal that lives in a, a snowy wilderness, they've got to be able to take the cold in their stride. And there is one very special animal that does that better than most.
A furry head pops out of a crevice.
The Arctic fox. They live further north than any other member of the dog family. And something extraordinary makes this possible. In the warm days of summer, they look very different. Then every year, as the winter approaches, they undergo a spellbinding transformation.
Yellow eyes surrounded by bright white fur.
They grow a thick, snow-white winter coat.
An Arctic fox bounding across the snow.
I'm lucky to be able to see this up close with a fox that's been brought up by people.
The fox wanders past him.
Hello, you handsome, handsome boy. My word. That is the most sumptuous coat I have ever seen on any animal. In fact, Arctic foxes have the warmest coat of all Arctic mammals.
Gordon grins.
In winter, their fur becomes 200% thicker. There's a longer outer layer with hollow hairs that trap air to increase insulation, and a dense undercoat provides even more warmth. An Arctic fox won't even start feeling the cold until it's minus 40 degrees. And they have other clever features that help them get through winter. Their ears are round and tucked into their deep fur to reduce heat loss. And frostbite, their nose is short and stubby. And a magnificent tail means that when the Arctic weather is at its worst, they can hunker down and use it as a blanket.
Gordon's crouching near the socialised Arctic fox.
Being well-dressed for winter is an obvious advantage. But to survive in a snowy landscape like this, you have to be able to exploit every single opportunity to get food. And foxes are experts at that. They have incredible senses, particularly their hearing. And despite having these fairly small ears, this fox will be able to detect its prey with pinpoint accuracy, even when it's hidden underneath the snow.
A fox scouring for food.
But learning how to use this skill takes time. Their preferred food are lemmings, small Arctic rodents. Many foxes won't make it through their first year, and that's mostly down to a lack of food. Their sensitive hearing means they can detect lemmings scurrying through tunnels in the snow. But the fox also has to judge the depth of the snow. And then
it leaps into the air, then nosedives onto the snow.
With this dramatic pounce, he's trying to punch right through the snow and catch the lemming underneath. It isn't easy.
After diving in head first, its legs flail around in the air.
But practice makes perfect.
The fox leaps again, ramming into the snow, before emerging with a lemming in its mouth.
The fox's ability to track down prey using its hearing alone is truly amazing.
relying on your hearing in the snow can be a real challenge. Have you ever noticed that when there's a blanket of snow, the world seems a very silent place? That is because the snow literally deadened the sound waves. The snow stops the sound from bouncing and reflecting off of things. In my pocket, I have a speaker, and on the speaker, I have the sound of a vole. To many creatures, voles means food. See, if your dinner relies on you being able to detect these little creatures that are scurrying about beneath the grass, beneath the snow, you'll see what the challenge is. Pretty loud. Here's the vole.
Gordon buries the speaker in the snow, then listens carefully.
I can barely hear it. It's almost completely gone. Okay. So I'm about a foot and a half above the speaker, and I can just about hear it. Thankfully, I don't rely on voles for food.
But what if you had to listen out for this sound from high above the snow? That's the challenge faced by the great grey owl. But this magnificent bird pinpoints sound so accurately, it can launch a strike from the air.
The owl lands gently, then lifts its thick feathered legs before plunging its feet into the deep snow. It gulps back what it's caught.
So how does it achieve this incredible feat?
Now the owl is perching on a branch as snow falls all around it.
The disc-shaped feathers on its face collects the sound waves and directs them to the ears at the side of its head. It can work out exactly where the sound is coming from. These skills come into their own when the owl takes to the wing.
It stretches its powerful wings.
Special edging on its feathers mean that its flight is completely silent.
The owl soars through the air.
Nothing can hear it coming.
As it glides, its wings shift a little, its piercing yellow eyes staring ahead.
In the final moments, it brings its talons into exact alignment with the sound of the prey.
As it approaches the ground, it brings its feet underneath its body and pulls its wings around it like a cape. With one effortless movement, it lifts up out of the snow with a vole in its talons. Now a silvery grey forest.
Catching a meal without ever seeing it. Phenomenal. But there is another way to find a vole under the snow, and that's to go in after it. Although the least weasel is several times larger than a vole, its body is exactly the same width.
The fluffy white weasel scampers across glistening snow.
Once the weasel finds a hole, it's an old-fashioned game of cat and mouse.
Kicking up a spray of snow, it disappears down a hole, then speeds through the network of icy tunnels after a vole. The weasel pops up at the surface.
Although it doesn't always end in getting dinner. Whatever the outcome, at least the weasel is small enough to take shelter beneath the snow, away from the worst of the weather.
Treetops crusted with snow.
But what if you aren't able to get out of the cold? Well, one animal has some surprising ways to cope.
A large male reindeer with heavy antlers bounding along, then the rest of its herd.
Reindeer, there could not be another animal more closely associated with snow and Christmas.
Their faces and bodies are shades of brown, their necks are white.
And There could even be some truth in that famous red nose.
Reindeer live in the forests and tundra of the far north. In winter, they dig through the snow to find food. Out here, they're breathing in air at temperatures down to minus 40 Celsius. To stop it chilling their lungs, they pass the air through chambers in their nose, where a network of blood vessels heat it up. We can see this on the thermal camera. Where they warm the air up, their noses really are red. And when they breathe out, their noses take the precious body heat from their breath so it isn't lost to the atmosphere.
Gordon struggles through the snow.
And it isn't the only thing that makes reindeer so well equipped for snow.
I am a perfect example of an animal that is not adapted for walking about a snowy environment like this. I'm 12 stone, 12 and a half stone, and all of my weight is distributed onto my feet. Size 12, big feet for a human, but not big enough to stop me from sinking down into the snow.
So, why don't reindeer have the same issue? The answer lies in their specially adapted feet. Their four toes splay out to increase their surface area, stopping them from sinking and giving them traction. This ability is one reason we domesticated the reindeer. The Dolgan people of Siberia use reindeer for their nomadic lifestyle, literally moving house every week or so with their help.
Box-like houses on sleighs being pulled in convoy by reindeer.
So clearly, I need to increase the surface area of my feet.
There we go. Adapted for walking in the snow. Big surface area to stop me sinking through. Spikes to stop me slipping on the ice.
They resemble wide, shortened skis.
That is so much better. It's easy. I can walk through the forest. I'm not sinking down into my waist. I can go fast. I can almost go silently. Like I belong here.
He walks more easily across the snow.
Other animals also use this approach. Polar bears have huge paws, 30 centimetres across. And their pads are covered with tiny bumps to give extra grip. And the snowshoe hare has long, fur-covered feet to help it move effortlessly across the snow.
Reindeer on ice.
Yet despite their special equipment, even reindeer find sheet ice a little tricky.
As one of them slides along, it pats the ice with its feet until it can slowly stop.
But reindeer have something else that really sets them apart. Their eyesight.
When it's bright and sunny like this, my eyes struggle to cope with the amount of UV light that's coming from the sun and is bouncing back up off the snow. But reindeer, they see things differently. Not only can they see in colour like I can, they can also see in ultraviolet.
And that's vital, because some very important things show up in ultraviolet.
White lichen on a tree.
Tracks in the snow show up clearly, helping reindeer find a path. They can see the telltale scent marks of predators in the snow. And most important of all, a staple part of their winter diet, lichen, stands out like a beacon.
A foraging reindeer with its nose deep in the snow.
So when deep snow covers the other plants they eat, they can hone in on this extra food source. No wonder reindeer are so closely associated with this time of year. With these specialist skills, they can get through the deepest winter.
Reindeer on a hilltop, then time-lapse footage of ice forming, from needle-like icicles and blooming crystals to frost spreading across a woodland floor. A shard of ice grows from the edge of a brown leaf.
When temperatures plummet, we start burning more calories just to keep warm. So finding extra food can make all the difference. In fact, it's vital. But when your larder is frozen solid, you have to be resourceful.
The robin. The gardener's colourful companion relies on soft earth to pick out worms and grubs. But a deep frost means the ground is frozen solid. If only there were someone to dig it up. Deep underground in total darkness, where the frost can't reach, moles are digging their tunnels and pushing up fresh, soft piles of earth. For the robin redbreast, this is an opportunity.
Speeded up footage of a moist pile of earth growing on a patch of frosty grass. A robin pecks at it, while deep underground, a mole shuffles along.
It's a real lifeline. And one that could continue for the whole winter.
Speeded up footage of the sun casting shadows.
When food is hard to find, joining forces can help.
Spindly trees punctuating the snow.
And one resourceful animal has worked out just how to do this. Wolverines are the largest member of the weasel family.
It's a brown, bear-like creature with a bushy tail.
In winter, most of their diet is made up of the animals that haven't made it through these testing times. But with the world covered by snow, it could take hours to find this meal. This is where the wolverine's resourcefulness comes in. It has an airborne spotter. Ravens, one of the most intelligent birds in the world. Although it's found a moose, a raven isn't strong enough to dig it out of the snow. So it calls out, attracting the wolverine's attention. It will even lead its ally towards the food.
The raven flies ahead, then perches on a branch as the wolverine begins to dig around the buried head of the moose.
Wolverines are renowned for their strength. But the meat is frozen solid.
The raven flies off.
Fortunately, there's an answer for that.
The raven pads across the snow.
The wolverine is one of the only animals on the planet whose teeth and jaws are specifically adapted for eating frozen food. They can cut through meat and bone as hard as concrete.
Now the raven's standing nearby as the wolverine gnaws into the leg of the moose.
This is what the raven's been waiting for. Newly revealed leftovers are their reward for finding the food.
Having detached the huge moose's leg, the wolverine drags it away across the snow. The raven pecks at the exposed flesh left behind.
And there's one final clever strategy. In case times get really tough, the wolverine will bury part of the meal, storing it away in the freezer for later. Two different species working together like this is rare in the natural world. But when you live in one of the toughest places on Earth, it can make sense to work as a team. Muskox are Arctic giants. They live in family groups of around 20 in the northern tundra, where they face some of the planet's most extreme weather.
A shaggy-haired ox with curving horns.
When it comes to being prepared for the coldest part of winter, these muskox certainly look ready. That long, thick, shaggy coat is so efficient. A muskox only uses a small amount of energy to keep warm. They can even slow down their metabolism so that in the wintertime they require less food.
Because finding that food can be a challenge.
A pale yellow sun strains through the cloud over mountains and valley blanketed in snow.
In winter, the snow is covered with a thick layer of ice, making it hard to get to the plants beneath. So muskox use their large front hooves like snow shovels.
Fat white birds hurry over.
And the neighbours are quick to spot an opportunity. Ptarmigan. Hardy Arctic birds that also feed on plants, but can't break through the ice on their own.
A white hare with black-tipped ears.
Arctic hares join the winter feast too. Soon the muskox have quite an entourage.
A cluster of the little birds pecking at the ice, with oxen in the distance.
But finding food is just one of their problems. Protecting their calves is perhaps the most important. They're born just before the spring. Everything is new to this calf, but the snow is a particular challenge.
Scampering about.
It'll need to get to grips with it soon. There are predators here. Arctic wolves that are big, strong, and live in packs. The calves are vulnerable. They must try to keep up.
In the midst of the herd, a calf stumbles and topples over. The oxen thunder off together.
The muskox form a defensive ring, with the calves in the middle. A wolf would be foolish to mess with this impenetrable wall of muskox.
They stand together, the calf nuzzling up to one of them.
When it comes to living in the Arctic, these animals are hard to beat.
An Arctic wolf alone in an icy landscape, then another wolf in some frosty woods.
Relying on hunting to get a meal is always a challenge. So how do predators like wolves get through the toughest time of year? Here in northern Norway, these wolves are habituated to people.
One of the wolves licks Gordon's face like a domestic dog.
It's a rare opportunity to get closer than would ever be possible with a fully wild pack.
A wolf investigates the camera, then another comes up beside Gordon.
Hello.
It licks his face, then rolls over, offering Gordon its belly.
The size of the paws. You are a beaut. Just stroking this wolf, you could lose your hand in its coat. And when I part the hair, you can see that underneath there's these fine, very soft hairs. It gives insulation. And these longer outer hairs repel the snow and water coat is perfect for these conditions. You look how narrow the wolf is. You look at the wolf face on. It's got this big head, but the shoulders are quite narrow, and that's just a physical adaptation that helps them move around through deep snow. So no matter what physical characteristics you have, a clever hunting strategy is essential. And in these bitterly cold conditions, it helps to have friends.
Gordon's stroking a wolf and it licks his nose.
Wolves live in tight-knit family groups. There's a strict hierarchy. Alpha males and females are in charge, and every pack member knows their place.
A pack running together, then play fighting. Next, a snowy landscape.
The strong relationships between the wolves are critical for getting through hard times. It's February in Yellowstone National Park.
A howling wolf, its pack close behind, then a herd of elk.
At this stage of winter, the elk are weak.
They plod through the snow.
But elk are several times the size of a wolf. They need to work together. One wolf charges, making the elk run.
On the snowy hillside, another wolf joins the chase, herding the elk like a sheepdog.
They can identify the weakest animal by the way it acts and moves. One wolf cuts the elk away from the herd, while two more come in from the sides. A tactical maneuver that means the whole family will feed.
While one wolf clamps down on the elk's leg, the other snaps its jaws around the animal's throat.
A wolf's ability to hunt as a team, as a pack, that's really what helps guarantee its survival.
A twinkling flurry of snow.
In Yellowstone, the wolves have found a way to get through the harsh winter. But for other animals that live here, there's another way to survive.
Otters bounding through the snow, a fox trudging through a deep drift, then a herd of beasts moving slowly through a storm.
These bison are caught in the grip of the worst winter for a generation.
One of them shakes off the thick layer of snow that covers its back.
The snow is too deep to break through, and they need to eat.
The bison digs its nose into the snowy ground.
But Yellowstone holds a secret. This winter wonderland has a burning heart. Formed on a giant volcano, Yellowstone is peppered with thousands of hot springs and spectacular spouting geysers. The bison can take advantage of this, but they need to move.
As they plod slowly through the storm, thick clumps of ice cling to their fur. They make their way across a vast plain, devoid of anything but snow.
They're taking a big risk. This journey could use all their remaining strength.
One struggles in the deep snow.
Some won't make it.
The setting sun.
But even as night falls, the bison push on.
The sky above them is a burnt orange, and the sun's about to dip behind the horizon as they soldier on, silhouetted against the now greying snow. Speeded up footage of the moon and stars crossing the sky. Then, on a new day, A mist of steam floats over the snow. They paddle through glistening water.
The herd have reached an oasis.
Tufts of grass.
The hot springs warm the air and melt the snow. And there's grass here.
One grazes, while another lies down on the warm earth, ice still clinging to its fur. Steam fills the air.
But this paradise is too good to be true. Volcanic springs can contain toxic chemicals, like arsenic. Over time, this could make the bison ill. But right now, this is the lifeline they need.
A huge plume of steam.
Knowing every secret in the landscape can make all the difference to surviving in the snow. And some animals take using thermal springs to a whole new level.
Monkeys bathing in a hot lagoon.
In these heated pools, Japanese macaques take refuge from the freezing winter temperatures. The water is a steamy 41 degrees Celsius.
Some of them hold on to the rocks that border it.
It's not just a chance to keep warm, though. It's also an opportunity for the group to socialise.
They groom one another.
But this spa is exclusive. Only the elite of macaque society are permitted entry.
They wallow with only their heads above the water.
The rest are left on the sidelines to look for other distractions.
A tiny macaque makes a perfectly round snowball, then another lets theirs roll away.
Even the less privileged monkeys are lucky compared to those animals that live in the coldest and most extreme place on the planet.
Jagged mountain peaks.
On a day like this in the mountains, the temperature is round about -1, -2. On a different day, with a bit of wind chill, you're talking about -20, -30. But if you want it colder than that, in fact, if you want the coldest ever recorded temperature, you have to go to Antarctica.
Recorded by satellite in 2010, the temperature hit a mind-blowing -94.7 degrees Celsius.
A thin mist of snow blusters around the foot of a mountain.
The average temperature at the South Pole is -50 degrees.
Soaring over the South Pole and a myriad of strange ice formations rising from the landscape.
Winds have been known to reach nearly 200 miles per hour.
A tranquil body of water.
Much of the land is surrounded by permanent sea ice, which means that animals that live here have developed some of the most amazing survival strategies in the natural world.
A pod of whales viewed from above.
Harsh as it is up top, in the water, temperatures remain about -2 degrees all year round.
One of the whales dives a little deeper.
This eerily beautiful world is where Weddell seals spend much of their lives.
A bewhiskered nose peers between sections of ice just under the surface. Another seal appears and pushes through the ice into the water.
They live closer to the South Pole than any other mammal, feeding on fish underneath the ice.
Swimming in the dark, indigo waters.
Surely this is a potential problem for an air-breathing mammal.
a shaft of light through a small hole in the ice.
Well, there are some natural holes, cracks and openings in the constantly moving sea ice.
Viewed from below, seals gather around the hole.
And that's where the seals' remarkable adaptations come in. They can hold their breath for over an hour, swimming far and wide in search of the next air hole.
The ice forms an undulating ceiling, and the seal makes a clicking sound.
They've also developed a kind of sonar, listening to the minute differences in the echoes from this peculiar call. They can detect gaps in the ice.
One pushes up through a tiny hole.
But most amazing of all is how they stop a hole from freezing over in these sub-zero temperatures. Weddell seals have large, strong, and protruding teeth. They use them to rasp away at the ice.
It works, moving its head from side to side.
It takes extraordinary effort, but it keeps their precious breathing holes open. Going to these lengths is the only way to survive in extreme places like this.
The ice that's grated off forms a slushy layer on the water's surface.
Our final group of animals can face up to the elements like no other. The Antarctic penguins.
In slow motion, one penguin leaps out of a hole in the ice. Others shoot up too, while some seem to fly through the spray of an Arctic wave.
Under their skin, penguins have a thick layer of blubber to keep them warm. And it gives them that distinctive rotund shape. To save time and energy, they take advantage of the ice to get about,
sliding on their bellies.
Even their waddle is energy efficient.
Some of them run along.
And on top of all of this is their most fortifying of features: feathers.
Penguins may not be able to fly, but they do have a lot of feathers. And it's thought that penguins have more insulating feathers than any other bird. And I've got some here. And just look at them. These are from an emperor penguin, a species that has to endure bitterly cold Antarctic conditions. And it is a masterpiece. At the base, it's incredibly downy and fluffy. The quill part is stiff. The end is slick. This is a waterproof part. And on the bird, these feathers interlock. The outside is waterproof. It creates a waterproof seal, and underneath is an air void full of these downy feathers. This is an incredibly sophisticated form of insulation.
When it comes to a life in the snow, the emperor penguin really does deserve its name. They're able to live further south than any other penguin. For 3 months each year, the males remain out on the ice whilst their partners go fishing. They face temperatures of minus 50 and winds that can exceed 100 miles per hour, all to achieve one extraordinary thing. In a place with no shelter, no materials to build a nest, and where everything is frozen solid, he's responsible for bringing up the next generation. Balanced on his feet, the closest part of his body to the ice, he's protecting his most precious possession, an egg. In a specially adapted pouch, the egg is kept at 38 degrees above freezing. But it's not just about keeping his egg warm and off the frozen ground. To survive, the penguins must stick together. They move in and out of formation with the other expectant fathers to keep warm.
They huddle together en masse with their heads bowed, their hunched backs forming an external wall. From above, they're a sea of black and white. Dusty drifts of snow, and then the sun rising, casting a warm glow over the ice. The black, velvety head of a penguin, with flashes of yellow on either side of his face.
Then one magical day, the hard work pays off, and he receives the ultimate gift.
A hatchling balancing on its father's feet.
A brand new baby penguin. To show off proudly when Mum returns home from fishing.
The pair of penguins have their heads bowed, looking down at the tiny bird, whose head's poking out from beneath the male's belly. Next, some older babies.
Whether a parent or a baby, nature's winter wonderlands are demanding places to live.
A grey, fluffy penguin chick, then an owl.
Yet, as we've seen, our animals are more than up to it.
Gordon with the wolves, then two seals nuzzling noses on the ice.
They've come up with extraordinary ways to survive and even thrive.
The oxen, the reindeer, then the macaques in their rocky hot tub.
For me, these animals are some of the most impressive on our planet. They've overcome every challenge to each lead a remarkable life in the snow.